You are now listening to a Push Devon podcast.
Beyond Dimensions presents a three-night boat cruise to the Portuguese islands with
MSC Cruises.
Drift away with the musical stylings of the Temptations and the Blue Notes. We set sail from the 17th to the 20th of Feb 2023. Contact Anto for bookings on 064-404-3296 or email events@beyonddimensions.co.za. We are going beyond waters with Beyond Dimensions.
Tune in to the Kasi Drive, Mondays to Fridays, only on Poort FM.
Welcome back, Poort FM family. Once again, you have Miss Eden Jacobs, Leafy Boyson, and KG on the Kasi Drive, standing in for Miss Moka D.
Welcome back to the afternoon drive right here on Poort FM with KG, Eden Jacobs, and Leafy, standing in for DJ Moka D. On the line, as we said previously, that we will be discussing a more serious issue rather than Christmas. On the line, we've got Sergeant Sam Shibambo, my apologies, the Yesterday's Police spokesperson, whom we're going to interview and just get a little bit more background on the story and what is being done and the progress that the police have made so far.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you so much, sir. My name is KG. Could you please give us a little bit of background on the story that we heard about in the news about the killing, the brutal killing of the young man who is a Bolt driver?
All right, you know, I'm struggling to hear you, maybe because of we are loose sharing inside, but it's fine. But to answer you, on Friday, the 16th of December, 2022, in the evening, the South African Police Service yesterday received a call from the members of the community saying that there's a young man who has been stabbed and is in his car somewhere in Georgiou Street. They proceeded to the scene, and we understand that they were able to speak to him. And then he narrated the story that he picked up some passengers from Hartfontein to yesterday, and that they robbed him of his belongings and in the process stabbed him.
Yes.
They took him to the clinic, and then the clinic also organized an ambulance to take him to hospital for further medical treatment. But we are told that unfortunately he passed on before he can receive any medical attention at the hospital. And then as it is now, we don't know how many suspects were involved, but then we are making an appeal to the community to assist us with information that might lead to the successful arrest and prosecution of the said suspect.
All right. Thank you very much, Sergeant Shibambo. So, in other words, are there no perpetrators? Are there any leads with regards to the perpetrators?
Yes, we are following some leads at the moment. But honestly speaking, we can also do with the community's help, because we need to understand that this was not the first incident where a Bolt driver was attacked.
Yes.
It's just that on this one, it was unfortunate somebody lost his life. And I'm also appealing to the residents of Yesterday to say, please come forward, because we know this perpetrator. They might be our own children, they might be our nephews and so forth.
Yeah.
And we know that now a life has been lost. So the only thing that we can do to give justice to the bereaved family is to provide the police with information that will lead to the arrest and successful prosecution of the perpetrators.
Thank you very much, sir. With this appeal to the community to assist the police, what else can be done other than bringing forth information? What else can the community of Yesterday's actively do in order to help the police?
You know what, we need Yesterday's residents to take ownership of our beautiful Yesterday's. Because number one, we know that Bolt and Uber services is a much needed services, especially in Yesterday's, seeing that we do have a transport problem. And if we are not taking ownership of our city, that means all these kinds of services will cease to exist in our community.
Yes.
And most people will suffer. Hence, we are saying, let us join hands. This is not a time to blame one another, but it is the time to partner and try to address this crime before it gets out of hand.
Thank you very, very, very much, Sergeant. We as Poort FM, and I'm sure along with the whole of Yesteris. Appreciate everything that you do each and every single day, putting your lives on the line to assist everybody who lives in this community. Thank you very much. We thank you very, very much for that. And we hope that the community will stand together as one with the police to do more to make it a safer place, a safer community. Thank you very much, sir.
Much appreciated, ma'am. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Sir, just to ask one more question. As you've mentioned prior, that this is not the first incident that has taken place with regards to the ball drivers here in Yesteris. Has there been any initiatives taken or steps put into place or even just something said to the community on how this situation can be improved so that it doesn't go from bad to worse? Because we've already reached worse. How much worse can it get?
Yes, we did have an interaction in the past. If you can remember, there were some media statements that we also released, not only to the community, but to the service providers themselves to say, if possible, let them pass via Yesteris. Via Yesteris as it is. Mm-hmm. But we all know that it is always impossible. Reason being that when you get a call, like for instance, at Hartsfontein, you say, come and pick me up. Sometimes you will not even know that you'll end up in Yesteris. And yes. Then secondly, we also had engagement, especially with our community policing forums, where we're having in Bezos. That was earlier in June this year. We also, during those in Bezos, also reiterated on those things to see. Now, things like Uber Eats, REM, and all those things are struggling to come into Yesteris.
Yes.
Because of these kinds. But on the other hand, we also made a breakthrough because of the people who are terrorizing the Uber say late last year, December, and early January. We know that they were apprehended and the cases are still going on.
Oh, so there are people who have been apprehended, and I'm glad to hear that there has been movements by SAPS to address the issue, not only just saying it, but actually doing it. I appreciate from the community. I'm sure the community is very grateful that there has been something done to the perpetrators of these horrendous crimes. And as you said, it's such a disadvantage to the Yesteris residents when Bolt and Uber and Taxify and all of these places, these companies that don't want to come into Yesteris because they have this negative outlook on the community. And I'm very grateful that as the SAPS that you are putting your part towards improving the outlook on Yesteris and its safety.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. And before I leave,
yes.
The station commander of Yesteris, the CPS as well, Lieutenant Colonel Simon Matswani Teledi,
mm-hmm.
He also spoke to the branch commander and told him in uncertain terms that he must ensure that the perpetrators of this crime are brought to book. So,
yes.
FN speaking, seasoned detectives, crime information gatherers, they are on the ground trying to gather the information and trying to pick up the pieces of the puzzles in order to rescue the situation as it is now.
Yes, I'm certain that not only the family of the victim, but Yesteris as a whole is very, very, very hoping to have all of these perpetrators be brought to face the crimes that they have committed, because it is a brutal crime. And we would love for, as much as SAPS can share, would love for SAPS to share the progress of the case. And it would very much increase the community initiative to stop it when we see that SAPS has been playing their part and bringing these perpetrators to justice.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being willing to do the interview and giving us all the information. It was a pleasure to have you, sir.
Ma'am, thank you very much for having me on your show. I just hope and pray that maybe some of the listeners might have a little knowledge of what happened that night and might be able to provide us with the relevant information that will lead us maybe to the arrest and successful
mm-hmm.
prosecution of these people. Because at the end of the day, a no service to Yesteris doesn't only affect the elder residents. It affects young people in Yesteris who are studying outside Yesteris, who are working outside Yesteris,
mm-hmm.
and people who are doing business in Yesteris as well. So hence I'm saying together we'll be able to overcome this war and we'll be able to win it. Thank you very much for having me now.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was very, very appreciated.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
deur slegte vakke wat geen respek hê vir ander nie.
Mm-hmm.
I tried.
You got this. You did it, girl. It's so true. I had last year when I was writing my matrix, when I was writing my matric and I'd write second session and I would literally sit outside school for like an hour trying to get a bolt driver that'll be willing to bring me into Eerstress.
Oh my goodness.
It was a struggle. And it's so, so sad that the entire Eerstress community has to suffer from a few bad apples.
Yes, because of a few bad people mm-hmm. who decide to do these horrendous things. And then everybody has to suffer now because they can't get all these services that everybody else elsewhere can get.
At a moment's notice. Like, it's so unfair. And it's truly, as the community has said, it's very, very saddening. But soon we have another interview coming up with Mr. Jan Milan, who is the founder of the Underdome Safer Community Project. Welcome back, Poort FM listeners. On air today, you have Eden Jacobs, Leafy Boyson, and KG on the Kasi Drive, standing in for DJ Mocha D. On the line, we have Mr. Jan Milan, who is going to give us some more information with regards to the Underdome Safer Community Project. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hello, Eden, and hello, all your listeners. I'm very well, thank you.
It's an honor to have you on air today, sir. Can you please tell us about the Safer Community Project that we are wanting to showcase and implement within Eerstress?
Yeah, Eden, I took notice of the terrible murder on that young man yesterday evening, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we are all shocked about that because that's a young life. I understand the young guy wrote the trick only last year. And, yeah, it's terrible. And, you know, one would think who must do something about it.
Yes.
And who should operate against this type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to tell you about is what we've started is a process in Eerstress, specifically Ward 43, to say, but, you know, if we have a problem with service delivery, we have a problem with the cleanliness, the safety of our area, who should do something about it? The one thing you can opt is to say government should do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that we have a challenge with the capabilities and the numbers of policemen and the numbers that we can fall back on. And the whole Underdome plan is to say, if we carry on doing what we've been doing up to now, mm-hmm. we're going to have the same results.
Yes.
But if we want to change, if we want to change for the better, if we can develop a joint vision and a joint dream for Eerstress,
mm-hmm.
we can achieve it, but we have to play along new rules.
Yes.
We have to up our game. We have to come up with some new concepts and new ideas. And what our concept is to involve new role players. Actually, all role players that should be involved. So the concept is to start by getting together all the schools. I understand in Eerstress we've got 5 schools, 7,500 kids on school level to create a forum for all the principals and the parent associations and involve them. To take
mm-hmm.
all the churches. In the analysis we did, we found over 240 churches just in Eerstress. Say, the religious community, let's get the forum going with representation.
Yes.
Take all the business people in Eerstress, let's create a forum. And then obviously the guys that invited us with the community police forum, that's organized community, plus the NGOs,
yes.
together with the ward council and say, let's rethink Eerstress.
Mm-hmm.
But we start with a program where we say, first step is to do an audit. What do we start with? What do we look like? How many houses? I understand there's 9,000 houses. How many schools? How many churches? How many portals? How many lights are out? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is the crime situation? What is our roads, the situation? So that we know where we started and what we look like. And then we do a second step. And that is this representative forums.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We create a joint dream for Easterus, a vision. And the vision is, where do we want to be in 10 years from now, when the little grade ones make matric? What should it look like in Easterus? And we've started that process. And I must tell you that it was brilliant working with your community leaders, working that out. And now the next step is to say, okay, guys, now if we have a joint dream, how do we go about to implement that, to make it really safe, to make it really nice to stay in, to make it really a job for every single individual in Easterus? And that is when you now create your plans and your business plans.
Yes.
Because in the past, we would have said, okay, put it in the integrated development plan for council. Council, you do it. But this time around, we say, no.
Do it ourselves.
Let's challenge the schools. You've got five objectives for our kids and our young people. Our religious community, you've got five objectives. Counselor, you've got 10 objectives, the line function of local government. Business, you've got 10 objectives. And organized community, you have 10 objectives. That gives us 40 objectives. But we are pulling together, each one in his own speciality. And the idea then is that we will assist the community to work out the business plans for this. Because you need to have a plan with aims and objectives, action plans, and a budget.
Yes.
Now, once we have a budget and a plan, then we can obviously go and look for money. The one way is to go to council, because we are opting through this process to re-establish a very, very strong ward committee for Easterus, with those individuals representing the whole community. And then go into the IDP, the Integrated Development Plan, as a ward committee. And say to council, listen, what are we paying already? Come on, give us a few rands back, maybe 10% or 20% that we are already paying to implement our plans in Easterus. The second thing we can do is our council, the City of Tshwane, this year in May 2022, took on a new bylaw. It's called the Internal Municipal Service District Bylaw. And the great thing about that is you can create a non-profit company with a trust account, and you can go and raise funds for your plans and your concepts. The third thing we can do is we can go to big business, and we've got big business coming to Easterus. You know about the Big Four factory and the other businesses.
Correct.
So guys, your corporate social investment funding, this is our plans. This is how we want to improve our human capability, training for our people, making sure everybody's in a job, that there's massive economic development. Come on, can you assist us with your corporate social investment funds, etc.? And this way, we are busy recreating Easterus. We are busy recreating what it is that we all really want and where we want to go. And we, as a non-profit structure, the Underdome Project, is there to assist the community and assist these different groupings, forums, to work out their plans and how to create an internal municipal district, etc., etc. You know, Eden, the wonderful thing about this program is that we can start the whole moral regeneration in Easterus, for Easterus, by Easterus. We can reprogram Easterus.
Mm-hmm.
We can reschedule everything, where we say, but let's take all the public holidays and reschedule them. Why on earth are they there? Can't we rethink them? Can't we have for Youth Day the biggest entrepreneurial day for all our children available? What about the church's fraternity? What do we do over Easter weekend? Can't we put something new on the table? You know, if I think about Easterus, and I know colored people quite well, I think of the Kaapse Klopse. And I'm saying, why can't we have the Easterus Klopse? Why can't we in January have the whole Pretoria coming to Easterus to see what it is all about and spend their money there and create a massive new identity and a new motivation and a new energy? Yesterday's.
Mr. Malone.
And it's all about yesterday's, and it's all about you guys, and we are ready to assist you, and I hope your listeners are listening,
yes.
Because
yes.
If you want to get involved, come on, guys.
Yes.
Get involved. Start talking about this. Let's make it work, and let's use this radio station as a hub to create enthusiasm for a new life for
ourselves. I completely agree. Sorry to cut you short, Mr. Milan. It was an honor to have you here on the Port FM. I'm certain that the community is going to be... I'm hopeful that the community is going to be willing to participate in this phenomenal initiative, and thank you for bringing it towards Yestres. Thank you once again for putting aside your time to be on the show with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Eden, and it is, have a great Christmas and a wonderful new year, and with new beginnings and new hope.
Thank you, and all of the same to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
And welcome back to the Afternoon Drive right here with myself, KG, Leafy, and Eden. For those of you who are curious about our previous guest on the show, that was Mr. Jan Malan, an ex-military veteran and committee member of the Underdome Safer Community Project. And touching base with our socials, as a parent and resident of Boort, it breaks my heart. This young boy was robbed of his future working to earn an income. Do hit us up on our WhatsApp line on 064-119-6017. And on our Facebook page, Alfreda Seppi asks, "Dear God, what is happening to our community?"
Mm-hmm.
Also, find us on Facebook at Boort FM 88.2.
Welcome back. As KG said, welcome back, Carsey Drive listeners. In the studio with us this afternoon, we have our third guest for the Carsey Drive, Mr. Benjamin Lawrence, who is a member of the Councillor's Office for Yestres. Good afternoon, Benjamin. How are you?
I'm all right. And yourself, Eden?
I'm doing well, thanks. How do I phrase our questions to our esteemed guest? Let's start with, what is the government or the councillor's office doing about the high crime statistics that we have in Yestres following this brutal, brutal incident that took place?
Okay, you're asking what's the councillor's office doing, or what is government doing?
Both, actually.
All right, yeah. Look, what I can tell you is in February of this year, we did have a what they call the social cluster public meeting, which was initiated by the MEC for Community Safety, which is the portfolio that at the provincial level that deals with, you know, community safety, like and among other things, SAPS. And, you know, after numerous requests or numerous complaints from the community in public meetings and, you know, through social media, through different, you know, mediums, especially even through ourselves, where we had spoken regarding the lack of service in Yestres, especially when it comes to safety. So what government has done, I'm speaking now from the provincial level, is they've started the conversation. Because when there's a problem, the first thing that government needs to do, obviously, is come to the people and have the conversation. So we've had a number of meetings and intervention meetings regarding, you know, number one, the service at SAPS at the local, you know, police station, and regarding a number of other issues connected to, you know, crime. Because crime, you know, comes from different, there's a different lot of things that are part of the cause of crime. And so far, that is what has been done. Has it been effective thus far? No, I cannot say that it has been effective thus, you know, thus far. But what I've also come to, you know, what is also the reality of everything is, in the meantime, during this time that we were complaining about what is happening at our local police station, we have a community policing forum, which is part of a government structure, which is also the correct space, the official space where oversight can be held over your local police. And, you know, there has not been an active, you know, how can I say, participation from us as a community.
Okay.
It is not at all. You know, there's a small group of individuals that have been, you know, dedicating themselves to getting involved, especially in our community policing forum, which is the CPF.
Okay.
And majority of the members are above the age of 60.
Mm-hmm.
Our executive of our CPF are above the age of 60. And that is because of the lack of interest and the lack of community involvement in this. So there's two sides.
Mm-hmm.
We as a community have been complaining about what has government done, but we also on our side have not been actively involved in being part of the solution. That's regarding, you know, crime. There's a lot of things. The mandate of the police is clear, that they have to fight crime. They have to make sure that the community is safe. And we cannot run away from that. And even the service, just the general service, when you walk into a police station. And on that note, what I also want to make clear, and I want people to listen out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a police station, if you go into Estrus police station specifically, and you speak Afrikaans, there's nobody in that station that can tell you that they refuse to speak Afrikaans.
Mm-hmm.
When you're traumatized and you want to speak Afrikaans, nobody can tell you that
you
don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is allowed to. And those type of things we need to report. If you are treated, you know, if you're not treated correctly, if you're not being the Batupidi principles, you know, any public servant is tied, they are bound to that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So as there are both sides, because a lot of the times we say people are complaining, but they're not reporting. But when people do report, if this happens, you're not allowed. As an official, you're not allowed to tell somebody that they are not allowed to speak in their language. And if anybody has experienced that, please, we need to report it to make sure that this, you know, is because this is one of the issues that we raised when we had these meetings, you know, with the office of the MEC, is the fact that you cannot have a traumatized person that, you know, speaks a specific language and they come there and they're being told to speak another language.
Mm-hmm. Or even just the Estrus dialect, the Estrus slang.
Well, if you're Afrikaans, you have a right. You're not a foreigner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have the constitutional right to demand that somebody must be able to speak in your language. I'm saying a demand. It's not your,
option.
Not a favor. It is your right. So what government is doing and what we are doing, you know, it goes together.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? We're sitting in a serious, serious situation where crime has taken over. As you all know, the drug issue has become, it's become so much of a norm. You understand? And
mm-hmm.
government needs to play their part, but community needs to play their part. We need to come together and we need to hold each other accountable in order for us to measure, you know, the successes or the failures and be able to deal with that directly, you understand?
So including that you are a member of the councillors for Estrus, and not only that, but
no,
you are...
No, let me help you. I am the ward councillor for
Estrus.
I'm the only ward councillor for Estrus, yes.
I stand corrected.
I'm a member of councillor for Tswane, but I am the ward councillor for Estrus, yes.
Okay, so... Let me get the credentials in order. As the ward councillor for Estrus and a member of the Estrus community for years and years and years, how has this specific incident, how do you view this incident, seeing as how it went from just ball drivers being hijacked to them, like, their cars being stolen, their possessions being stolen, to... the extent of this murder taking place, how do you view this as the councillor, the ward councillor, and a member? Community member, sorry.
Well, I don't think there's anybody that can view this in any other light except, you know, with regret. I don't have any other way to say that, you know. It's regretful that something like this, you know, happened. And how I view the specific incident is that, with regret.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I cannot express even any other feeling except, you know, sorrow and regret. I can't. There's nothing else I can say about this except that, you know, I'm regretful that something like this had happened
this
in a community that I grew up in, a community that I love, and that I even represent. So there's no other, you know, expression for me.
Sorry to cut you short there, but we're going to go into an ad break, and then we're right back here with the yesterday's councillor, ward councillor, Mr. Benjamin Lawrence.
Porsche's quick cash loans can help you. Minimum requirements include proof of income and a copy of your ID. For more details, call us on 079-945-4378 or 071-775-4210 between 8 a.m.
Mingo's pure filtered alkaline water uses reverse osmosis to provide purified drinking water for weight loss, cholesterol reduction, better liver health and digestive health. We cater for business meetings, conferences, corporate events and burial societies and more. Visit us at Esther's Shopping Center, Shop 18, or call us on 082-640-8760 or visit our website at www.mingos.co.za. Quench your thirst with Mingo's Pure.
I'm not too busy. Girl, when we first started, Never too busy for you, girl. Never too busy. I'm never too busy for you, babe. I'm never too busy for you, girl.
And we are still here with Ward Councillor Mr. Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence, as a first citizen of Esteres, what are you doing regarding the crime in Esteres?
I'm glad you asked me that question.
Awesome.
Because not too long ago, I was in a public meeting, and it was regarding the narcotics problem that we have in Esteres. And one of the people in the meeting asked, you know, what is the councillor doing?
Yeah.
They said the police are not arresting the drug addict, the drug dealers, and drugs are doing this and crime is doing this and all of that. And, you know, I want to tell you what I said to the gentleman at the time. I said it's not my job to do something about the crime in Esteres. It is all of our job as a community to do something.
Yeah, it's about collective effort.
You know, we've had a number of meetings. We must be honest with ourselves, especially in a time like this. What we need to do as a community is be honest with ourselves. We can talk about things. We can wait for things to happen. And when something happens, then we react and we are all, you know, everybody's aggressive and everybody is in full force talking about what should have been done or what, you know, why hasn't this been done or why hasn't this happened. But as a community, we have failed to come together and actually, you know, do things together. You understand? Whether it's about crime, whether it's about, you know, mainly about crime and even about drugs. What we have not, as a community, come together to do anything about it. So it is not the councillor's job to deal with crime. I'm not saying that the community should go on there and become police officers, but if the community are sitting back, if we're sitting back and folding our hands and saying that it's somebody else's responsibility, things are going to, because the fact that things have escalated, let me tell you where this started. A few years ago, I made a statement on Facebook, because you know, people were threatening to protest, and I made a statement. I said, you cannot do that. You cannot burn and vandalize and destroy things for the sake of saying that we want something. So you're destroying something.
Yeah, that doesn't
and
make
the
sense.
Result was that, and when I said that, somebody said to me, people are angry. And the result was that our four-way, our robot, the intersection where we had robots, both in Hanscoverdale West and in Hanscoverdale East, it was vandalized to a point where it would cost over R1 million per intersection to replace.
Wow.
And today we have people, you know, and rightfully so, because people that are using those robots, people that are going to work, and they're complaining about it. But when this happened, when there were protests, there were people that were saying, "Dimensa a squat." So when people are angry, they're allowed to destroy and to turn our community into a space where crime becomes the way to deal with issues. No, we need to be honest with ourselves. If we're going to sit back and watch things happen, evil thrives because good people choose to do nothing. And we always give somebody else the responsibility on that. That was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
A year about, sometime early this year, I was part of a march which was organized by the Department of Health for the and a number of stakeholders for the ambulances that were robbed. There was an ambulance that came into Esteres and they were robbed, and they had an emergency. Oh, and the victim goodness. That they came with, the person, the patient that they came to pick up, when she spoke to me, the situation that she was in was very, it was a very, you know, sensitive and a very, you know, dangerous, you know, health situation that she was in. And the ambulances were robbed.
Whoa.
And we had a march here. Do you understand?
Mm. Yes.
We had a march. It's fine. We had a march. But again, there was no involvement. It was nice for that time. We had a march. I've been utilizing public transport all my life. I'm a fan of public transport. Uber. I was an Uber person. Do you know that if you for the past, you know, few months, if you, well, for the past year, if you had to, you know, request an Uber, they didn't want to come here because they feel unsafe, because many of the Ubers that came here were robbed. Now, I've never robbed an Uber, You understand? I make use of it. There are
but
people
you have to suffer.
Yes, there are people that are working in other areas in Pretoria East, you know, which we don't have the means of public transport, that safe public transport, you know, and that Uber was the safest, you know, public transport from anywhere to here. And now Uber doesn't come here. You understand? And if you look at it, it just got worse and worse and worse. Last week, I had a meeting with the region because they were complaining that, you know what, the technicians that fix our water pipes when we have pipe leaks, because at the moment our infrastructure is not, you know, it's not the best. Our water infrastructure is very frail. And we have as a result, we have a number of pipe leaks. And one of the guys were robbed. And then they said, no, we will not come to you. We will not come and work there if we don't have an escort. So now you have your service delivery, the basic service delivery, water. If these workers decide now that they don't want to come and work, and they're represented by unions, and the unions are asking, no, you are putting our members at risk to come and do what is, you know, what is their mandate, or what is what they've been, you know, appointed to do, to fix service, because the city's responsibility is service delivery. It's making sure that there's, you know, there's enough, you know, there's electricity and there's water.
Yeah.
And these people were robbed. And then last week, when we had this meeting, we had the meeting at SAPS because they didn't feel safe. While we were having the meeting, we got a call from the Parks and Horticulture Department that the members that were busy cutting the grass were robbed of their machines.
Yeah.
This is absurd.
It is absurd because somebody feels that he's got the right to do as they please. But most of these people are people that we know. And a lot of the times, whether we want to admit it or not, we know who's doing it, when they're doing it, but we're not willing to come forward as a community. So if you're coming back and we're saying, what is government, what are we doing as a community? What is our responsibility in this? Because if you look at it, let me give you, I just want to let you know, The it is not the city that vandalized the cemetery.
Yes.
The city's responsibility is to ensure that the cemetery is kept in good condition. That means that the grass should be cut. When the grass is not cut in the cemetery, that's the city's fault. That's the fault of the department responsible for urban management. But if the grass is not cut or if the graves are vandalized because the gates are broken off and the fences are removed by people from this community, that's not the city's fault. You understand?
Yeah.
It is the city's responsibility to ensure, again, I've said the grass is cut in the grave, but when people are dumping in the cemetery, that is not the city's fault.
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's a balance. On the one end, we need to hold the city accountable for what they don't do when they're supposed to do it.
Yes.
But on the other end, we need to hold ourselves accountable as a community for not doing that which we are supposed to do. And for us, looking at our brothers and our cousins and our uncles and our aunties doing things that is turning this community further, that's sending it down into the gutter even further. This was one of the cleanest communities, you know, in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And look at us today. Illegal dumping, where you find a supposedly respectable person would dump. I'm talking about my personal experience, and somebody would tell you, this is a sneo plek. You understand? Where if I would come to you, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to correct you. Ye mag nie dump nie. But if I tell you, you cannot do this, and you get in, you find it as an insult, you're offended by the fact that what you're doing is wrong.
Mm.
We have people that are offended by doing wrong, by you correcting them for doing what's wrong. So do you think that this is not linked? It is linked. It is definitely linked. A few years ago, what the police used to do, they used to lock people up for public drinking. Do you know that in that time, robberies and shooting and all the other crimes were very low?
Mm-hmm.
They were very low. You understand? It's the broken window, what they call the broken window theory.
Yes.
You see, if we don't address the smaller issues, it's going to be very difficult for us to address the bigger issues. And the first thing is, when people are allowed to do as they please, and we expect crime not to rise and not to go, you know, the way that it's, or to escalate the way that it has, then we really need to do a reality check. So what am I doing as a ward councillor? I'm speaking out.
Yeah.
I'm speaking out as the ward councillor. I'm speaking out against things that I see as wrong. Well, now, I know I'm not, it doesn't make you popular, but you know, you have to do it. But I know I cannot do it alone.
Yes.
There's no way that I can address the kind of issues that we have, because our issues are internal. The internal issues are self-inflicted. There's no way that I can address self-inflicted issues on my own. That's not going to happen. It's impossible.
Nope, not going
to
happen.
So we as a community need to start being realistic, and not just when something drastic, something, you know, as bad as what, as horrific as what happened now. Mm. Only when something happens, then we want to react and say, oh no, what has this community, you know, come to? What is happening with our community? No. We've been watching our community deteriorate. We cannot be shocked and surprised. We need to start taking responsibility and earn up to, you know, this, and accept responsibility for what has happened as a community as a whole. You understand? Yes, we need to step up. The community needs to step up.
Yeah,
that's what needs to happen.
Thank you very much, Ward Councillor. Well, you heard it from the man himself that community safety is not in his hands alone. It is not his sole responsibility to ensure the safety of Esterus as a community, but it is a collective effort, and everybody needs to chip in. Everybody needs to come to the party and put all the efforts together to make Esterus a safer community. Now, Councillor, with what you said earlier in your response, that these crimes are committed by people that we know already,
mm-hmm.
and people do not come forward. Could it be that these people are afraid for their own safety? And given some of the comments on social media, and also what you have also said in your previous response, that the police service is not what it should be. Could it be that people are afraid to come forward because they're afraid for their own safety, and that the police service is not providing the safety that it should be providing? So now if I come forward as a community member, who's going to back me up? Who's going to save me? Who's going to protect me if I go and blow the whistle on somebody who just killed someone?
Yeah.
How do I know that I'm not next?
Okay.
What are your goals with regards to that, with regards to the SAP, with the Esterus Police Department, and ensuring adequate service delivery from them?
Yeah. Just to let you know, recently, about last week, and I'm taking responsibility on this.
Okay.
So I walked into the police station last week. I'm saying this because it needs to be heard. I walked into the police station, and I stood there. I greeted everybody, and I heard a police officer say that he was refusing to speak Afrikaans, and this is why I mentioned this earlier. Wow. And he refused it. And I walked up to him, and I said, "Officer," he wasn't talking to me, but I said to him, "You know, now I don't know if it was meant as a joke, but I don't think so. You know, I don't know the context of the conversation, but the fact that an official of government could, in a public space, say things like that is unacceptable."
Totally.
And I did say to him, "You are not allowed to say this. You're not allowed to say that you are refusing to speak Afrikaans. It is constitutionally wrong. You are not allowed to say that. You cannot say that. Even if you hate Afrikaans, you're not allowed to say it." You understand what I'm saying? Because the constitution protects every single, you know, culture in this country. Mm-hmm. Every official language has a right in this country. Now, as a citizen, as a resident of a community that's Afrikaans speaking, I'm taking it up. I'm not leaving it. Because one of the things that we mentioned in the discussion with the MEC's office was the fact that, you know, that this is an Afrikaans-speaking community, and they need to be given, you know, the environment needs to be made as comfortable for them as
yes.
each and every other, you know, South African-speaking, you know, community. And that's one of the things that I'm doing. So that's my responsibility as a citizen, because the law protects you. What most people think. A lot of people think that, no, my language is not protected, or I'm not protected, or my culture, or my religion. No. The Constitution protects individuals. The Bill of Rights protects each and every one of us.
True.
You understand what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. coming back to that is that, remember earlier I mentioned that we have a community policing forum.
Mm-hmm.
Myself as a councillor, the city is not run by councillors. Let me just let you know. There is an administration which is headed by the city manager, who is the accounting officer. But us as government, we are in terms of governance, we are there to hold the city to account. We're there to do oversight. That is why you have councillors and we have council. That is our responsibility to do oversight. and scrutinize, you know, the way that the money is being spent in the city, and obviously make, you know, suggestions and inputs, etc., etc. We do bylaws. We are part of, you know, approving the laws. It's that's why they call us the lawmakers. Mm-hmm. Now, at a local space, the CPF, the Community Policing Forum, which is the community version of what we're doing, the Community Policing Forum, which is made up of members of this community. The responsibility of the Community Policing Forum is exactly to do oversight over the police, the local police. So when there's a community element, it's not just there to, you know, it's not there to just scrutinize the work of the police, but it's also there to add and to, you know, to aid, you know, the police in their work. So when you have a functioning community body, then the statutory body, which is SAPS, it becomes, you understand, they work together well. So if we really say that there's a problem, then we need to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Get involved in the community. That's one of the solutions, is that we need people that really, you know, have the community's interest at heart to get involved on that aspect. Because if we have that, it's easier now to take, you know, take control and say, you know, this is what's happening. The same as with the clinic. We've got a clinic committee. The clinic committee is made up of members of this community, and they are there not just to criticize and to scrutinize the clinic, but there to enhance, you know, the work that the clinic is doing. You understand? Obviously, yes. Looking at the legislative framework, within the legislative framework. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, as I've said, is that if we really want to fix or to be part of the solution for crime, is that we need a direct community involvement. And I want to, you know, also, you know, take my hat off for a number of people within this community who have actually, you know, dedicated themselves, as difficult as a task it is, because there are members in this community, you know, although very few, you know, that have really, really, you know, put up their hand and they've tried. But we need more people to get involved. We need more people to actually take responsibility.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? For that. I mean, just to give you another problem, I just received a call from a lady, you know, in Jacobus Avenue, who for the 7th time reported cable theft.
Mm.
The same cable.
Oh my goodness.
The same cable.
What was done?
Has been damaged, has been vandalized, has been stolen 7 times. That's just one in Jacobus Avenue.
But what was done about that?
What was done about it? It was reported to the city. It was reported, as you know, to the police. But as a community, now we can say, where's the police? Fine. Even if we had 10 cars in the community that were patrolling, you understand? The community needs to play. We also need to play a role in terms of patrolling. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We need to be part of guarding our communities. There's a street. Every single street in this community has men, and the men need to be part of that solution. Number one, we know that drugs right now. Somebody wrote earlier that drugs is not what it used to be when they were younger. You know, that in this community, everybody knew all, you know, people that were abusing, you know, narcotics, and there were very few. Right now, it's not the case. Mm-hmm. You understand? And most of our vandalism, most of the cable theft, most of the ills that we have are related to narcotics. So that means that we need to have a different approach as a community. Yes, SAPS need to be involved, but there's a body that needs to take care of SAPS. But we also need to do our part, because we need to take drastic action. But again, it's in our hands.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Ward Councillor. You heard it for yourselves. The community needs to come together and put together collective effort in order to make Esteros a safer community. On our Facebook page, please place donations in the donation box at Pick and Pay,
mm-hmm.
which is placed at the security as you enter the door. This is to assist the family of the Bolt driver. Hashtag
welcome back. It's Miss Eden Jacobs again. Mr. Benjamin Lyons, it was an honor to have you on the show this afternoon. The Kasi Drivers is very honored to have you here, and we're very appreciative of all the knowledge that you've shared this afternoon. And I'm hoping that the community will not just listen and move on with their lives, but actually hear what is being said and take the initiative, because as you said, that's what's needed, is the community to take the initiative, and not just the older community members with the more experience, even the younger ones, the youth, need to stand up, because we are the next generation, and we should want a world, a community to thrive in, to better, and not just accept the bad and allow it to get worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
So yes, once again, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it a lot.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for the listeners out there. Just to say that I think that what I want to mention just is, you know, as a closing line, is that our problems will not be solved by people outside of this community. There's no messiah or hero from somewhere above some hill, but it can only be done by us as a community. Yes.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
All right, and we are back. Still here on the Afternoon Drive with your girl KG, Eden, and Leafy. On our socials, just another one from someone on WhatsApp who's saying that language is a barrier. When you get to the police station in Esteres, you are traumatized and try to express yourself in Afrikaans, the police officers would normally tell you, after explaining your situation, please speak English, which is so unacceptable because not everyone speaks English, especially not in Esteres.
Yes.
And they're not supposed to speak the language of the community. So people are not allowed to speak a language that is spoken in their community to express themselves, which is definitely unfair. So please do let us know what you think. Share more of your thoughts and views on our WhatsApp line on 064-119-6071. And also, please like our Facebook page, Poort FM 88.2.
On the topic of the language barrier within Esteres, it really is such a big problem, because Afrikaans is one of the national languages.
It's an official language.
It's an official language in South Africa, and it's very prevalent in Esteres, because not from the school level upwards, because in all of the Esteres schools, you've got English classes and you've got Afrikaans classes, and it's been like that since back in the day. So how can you be in a community where Afrikaans is just as prevalent as English, if not more so, because a lot of the community younger members go to schools in Esteres, and expressing yourself in a language that isn't your home language when you've gone through a traumatic experience, or even if it's not a traumatic experience, if you're coming to report something serious, you still need to be able to express yourself however you deem it necessary to do so.
So what better way to do it than in your home language?
Yes, exactly. Everybody else of different colors get to speak their own language whenever when they're traumatized, or when they just feel that I am more comfortable expressing myself in that language.
So with the phenomenal interviewees that we've had today, it was truly an honor to be here. It was an honor to have them on here. But before we go any further, let's do some news and traffic.